There was a woman in a church who complained about everything and everybody. Thank goodness we don't have any of those here. Finally, her pastor found something that she couldn't complain about. The lady's crop of potatoes was the finest for miles around. And he said to her, "For once, you must be pleased. Everyone is saying how splendid your potatoes are this year." And the lady glared at him and said, "They are not so bad, but we're on the rotten ones for the pigs." Instead of being grateful, she was grouchy. Instead of realizing her great blessing, she took it for granted. It was as though she was saying, "So what? I always have good potatoes, but there should be more." Has anybody ever, I'm not going to actually show your hands, if you've ever thought that way. And I'll remember when Steve was in, I don't know if it was preschool, was it your preschool song? I think it was his preschool song, yeah. They always go preschool. He still remembers the song because he gets reminded of it all the time in sermons. They had this song, and it was, "Are you humbly grateful or grumbly hateful?" Boy, people are sometimes like that, aren't they? And as we're coming into this Thanksgiving season, we're going to be spending the day celebrating and hopefully thanking God for what He's done. In fact, this congregation, we're going to be doing that give thanks tonight, and that's our start of it. And we'd love to have you come, bring something, some good food for people to eat, and to share. And we're going to fellowship and have a great time together for that evening, giving thanks to God. And on Thanksgiving Day, many of us will be cooking. And yes, I cooked the Thanksgiving dinner. You wouldn't believe how shocked my sister was. My mother died a week before Thanksgiving. And so that Thanksgiving happened to be when all of us were together. That never happened. And so we buried her, I think, on a Monday, Tuesday. And so on Thursday, I made Thanksgiving dinner for about 18, 19 people. And my sister had never seen me cook. And she said, "Wait a minute, you can cook." Well, Mom taught you, why wouldn't she teach me? Right? And so I love to cook on Thanksgiving Day. And I usually cook two turkeys. Robin has promised me that I won't need to cook two turkeys this year because she's getting me one of their 30 pounders or something that they have. And so I'll only need to make one. But we'll be cooking. Many of us will be watching football. We're going to be watching some football. Let me guess, Dallas and Detroit, they play. Every Thanksgiving, Dallas and Detroit play. And we're going to be watching some football, maybe some basketball. I think a couple of games are set there. And we'll be relaxing with family that we don't maybe get to see that often, or with friends that we don't get to spend near enough time with. Every year, the Witherows come over to our house. And so I know that we're going to have a full house again. And I love that. It's the one time of year I can see the dining room table. Because it's always got stuff on it. But that one time of year, we clean off the dining room table and we actually eat in the dining room. But while we're doing all these things, are we truly thankful for the things that God has given to us? Sometimes do we even recognize them? The Bible is full of verses that speak to the importance of being thankful, and I will tell you right off the bat, I'm going to try to keep this short because it's kind of part one. I'm going to do part two next week. But it's all verses speaking to the importance of being thankful. And it's full of people telling God how thankful they are for His blessings. And this morning I'm going to be talking to you about the necessity for being thankful for what God has given us. And then next Sunday I'm going to talk to you about what I would call the greener grass syndrome or complex that many of us have. And I don't know how many of you know what a complex is. It's something we kind of get going and we can't get out of it, right? My dad used to say I had an inferiority complex until I found out I was just playing inferior and I lost the complex. But we get into this greener grass thing. And so next week I'm going to talk to you about that. And it goes right in hand with this necessity of being thankful. And I certainly don't have time to make an exhaustive list of things to be thankful for. Each of them, one of them has some things that are going to be in common and some others that are not. So I'm going to take a look at two things that I think encompass everything else. So we can talk about the broad base of that, and then it's up to you later to figure out what falls under which part. But we're going to look at two things this morning. The first thing that we need to be grateful for is God's protective hand. I think about, we were just talking about this morning, and I make mention of it, where Satan goes in front of God and said, well, of course Job is this great dude. Of course he's great at serving you. You gave him everything that he ever would want. You blessed him time and time and time again. Of course he's going to be great. Give him me. Give him me for just a little bit. He'll stop doing that. He'll stop being the great guy you think he is. And God removed his protective hand from Job. See, God doesn't have to punish you. All he has to do is remove his protective hand. Man, I pray that God has not removed his protective hand from the United States. And every, at least once a week, I know that I distinctly pray to God. In Job, he says he put a hedge about Job. It's one of my favorite things. He put a hedge about him. These weren't little like neighbor hedges that we have today. You know, keep it nice. These were big sticker bushes, so that if animals came into them, they would get caught up in them and die. These were better than even good walls, make good fences, make good neighbors. These were protective places, a hedge. Animals couldn't get through. Lions, tigers, bears, boars. They couldn't get through them. And God, Satan said, you put a protective hedge about Job. And man, I pray that God keeps his hedge around my family. So we need to thank God for his protective hand. The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. What an awesome promise. Many times in the Bible, we've seen this going on. Jehoshaphat, when he was king, was a good king. Israel had a lot of them that weren't. But he was a good king, and they were being attacked by huge armies that had come together. They had no chance whatsoever of winning this battle. And they knew. And the people were afraid. They were afraid they were going to be slaughtered, their women and children taken and slain. And God said, and Jehoshaphat, he got all the people together and had to put sackcloth and ashes, which back in the day, sackcloth is like what potato sacks are made out of. It is not comfy. And they put on sackcloth and ashes to show God that they were pleading with him to protect them. And they fasted. They didn't eat. And they didn't drink. And God said, you tell the people, they don't even have to go out and fight, but I've got this. And the next morning, those opposing armies destroyed each other. There was nothing but dead bodies laying out on the field. God had done the fighting for them. And we see this so often in the Bible. There are certainly many, many battles that we are required to go through. You and I have a ton of battles. Right? Some of you have hard battles. Cancer. Illness. Heart problems. Loss of loved ones. You've had a ton of battles going on in your life. And there are some that we've got to work through. That's what part of being in this life is. But sometimes, just sometimes, God does the fighting for you. When his people, Israel, were coming out of Egypt, you remember at the last moment, Pharaoh decided, maybe I won't let them go. And came after them. And the people were scared because they were backed up against the Red Sea. And I love that part of in the movie, The Ten Commandments. Kathy always is like, oh, the worst of all these things. And I love that part of the movie where Pharaoh says, your God is a terrible general. Because he backed you up to the Red Sea. You got nowhere to go. Guess what God wants to do? God has a purpose in all that he does. And after the Israelites went through on dry ground through the Red Sea, he closed it over. And he said in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, he said, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Isn't that awesome? I love that term, be still and know that I am God. And as those who come, they're coming to the Bible study know, we have seen many occurrences in the Bible where God did all of the fighting for his people. And they didn't have to lift a finger. Sometimes they had to go through battles. But the generals, they were in charge of 1,000 people. And they counted all the people, and after these huge battles, they hadn't lost a single man. How do you go through a huge, humongous war, outnumbered, and not lose a single man? Because God was fighting for them, and fighting with them. And you might be thinking, well, I don't think that God has ever fought battles for me. I've had to struggle through. I would tell you that I don't think that any of us have any idea how many times peril was at our doorstep and God's protecting hand kept us safe within his loving arms. Amy Green had this old song out called Angels Unaware. And she said, talks about an accident that she just missed happen. Who knows? Maybe if you hadn't gotten stopped at that red light, down the line you could have been in a terrible accident. We don't know what goes on and how God's angels are protecting us. King David tells us time and time again about God's protection in his own life. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2 through 4. David's talking. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be You know what I love about David? My dad pointed this out to me when I was pretty young. He said, you'll notice when you're reading the Psalms and stuff, that David asks for something. He'll ask to be saved from his enemies who are all about him. And the amazing thing is then immediately he thanks him, God, for having done it already. Because, see, he trusted that God had his best in mind for him. And when he asked God to do something, that God would deliver him. And so he always just thanked him. And thanks for taking care of that for me, God. Listen, that guy, you were saying you're going to have some stuff done. Thank you, God, for getting me through this. Thank you, God, for taking care of this. Well, that takes some faith, doesn't it? That takes some faith. Thanking God for something you don't know has happened. But you're trusting God that it does. People talk about faith all the time. What's faith? Well, if you say, oh yeah, I don't think that chair's going to hold me up. But you don't sit in it any faith. Right? I know it, but I had another pastor from a friend that was a pretty heavy guy. He came over and sat in my chair in my back there. Some of you have been there. And bam! Down I went. He never sat in another chair in my place. He looked gun shy. Faith is sitting down. And so when you thank God for having done something, you're stepping out in faith. Thank you, Lord, because you've done this. And you're going to hear me say it time and time again. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down, they told the king, hey, our God is great enough to deliver us from this furnace. But even if he doesn't, I'm not bowing down. That's faith. God protected him. Far too often we get into ruts where all we do is complain to God about our situations when he actually deserves to be praised for the things that he has done for us. David made sure he spent much of his time doing just that. You recall, I talked earlier about Ruth and Naomi. Naomi got back to Israel and she said, oh, just call me, I don't even remember the name, or something horrible means God has abandoned me. Because I don't have anything good. Well, you know what? She did. She had the most loving daughter-in-law you could ever ask for. And she missed the blessing. Man. Quit whining about the stuff you don't have and start being thankful for the stuff you do. The second thing that we should be thankful for is God's provision. I could and likely will write whole sermons on God's provision. However, this morning, I just want us to be reminded of how blessed we truly are. Jesus wanted us to understand it when he said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of more value than they? Haven't you remembered that old song? His eye is on a sparrow, so I know he watches me. And God cares about you. And yes, there's stuff that we've got to go through. For some people, it's way worse than you can imagine. If you're a Christian in Egypt, you can have your head chopped up. At the very least, you'll be kicked out of your homes. Things can look bad. loves you and he has said that he will provide for you. All that you have is because of him. Do you ever remember? The Israelites got in trouble time and time again because they forgot who gave it to them. I don't have a beautiful wife and a wonderful kid because I did something right. Because most of the time, I didn't. I have a beautiful wife, a wonderful kid, a great home, and a fabulous church. Because God provided for me. That's going to be reason. He wants you to remember that. He will provide us with everything that we need. Doesn't mean just food and clothing. This verse focuses on food and clothing, but that is not what Jesus was saying. Do you know there are many homeless people that love God? God is saying he is everything that we need. God knows everything about each and every one of us, and he will provide what we need at the right time. Sometimes it's not fast enough for me. Have you ever felt like that? Man, Dr. Dove told me that I was going to get ordained 3 years ago. What is the deal? This is a slow go, God. I didn't sign up for this. I'm turning 50 here pretty soon. There's, you know, come on. Nobody starts being a pastor at 50. Time. I love that line, God is almost always near related. And if you allow him to provide, he'll keep you where you need to be. And on the flip side, if you stay where God wants you to be, he'll continue to provide. Isn't that great, the way that works out? When Elijah was at the brook, the Cherith, he got fed by the birds, he had water right there. The water dried up, and why it dried up? Because Elijah didn't pray to have a drought. Elijah told God, listen, don't give him any water for 7 years. Well, when you do that, eventually his brook dried up. And his brook dried up. God said, go to the Zarephath. Now he could have been stubborn like me and said, I'm staying here, the birds are still coming, I can probably dig for water. See me on the top of the sea. Or you can go where God told you to go. Above my door, there's a plaque. I had it inscribed. What's the name of that town? Little town. Remember I told you about it, Bobby, where the boroughs. What is it? Oakman. Yes, Oakman. It's up above Bullhead City. Up in the mountains, and the donkeys walk back and forth on the street on the sidewalks. And I saw a woodworker there. I said, can you do this for me? And he did it. Next sign says, Jehovah Jireh. And the Jehovah's Witness thinks, hey, I got a buddy here. When they come to my house, only they don't understand what that is. When Abraham was taking Isaac to the mountain. Isaac was a great kid. Whatever you asked him to do, he did. But he wasn't stupid. He could see with his two eyes. He saw everything they needed for a sacrifice, but he didn't see the sacrifice. Dad, I know you're like 180 now. Maybe I should ask. God will provide the land. that's exactly what God did. As soon as he saw that Abraham did not have any other God, little g, before God, big G. And as soon as he found out that Abraham wouldn't hold anything back from God, he provided. And there was that lamb stuck in a hedge. It's a ram. And Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. Means the Lord my provider. Something else happened at that place a thousand years later. Jesus Christ was crucified in that same spot. God provides the Lamb. I purposely used that name to remember my favorite verse. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And I really like the NRSV here because it really pulls it out. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul tells us that God won't just want to keep us by. This isn't prosperity gospel. Doesn't mean that God's going to throw a Rolls Royce at you. Doesn't mean that you're going to win the lottery three times in a row. It means that if you need it, really need it, because God knows the future, if you need it, you'll get it too. He said that he will supply every need. It doesn't mean that God is Santa Claus and has to send us gifts whenever we ask for them. It means that God knows what we're going to need and will give us what we need when we need it. Man, I must be a heck of a preacher, the one who just rushes back to get in here, huh? And there's also a caveat to what Paul was saying. He was just speaking before that about the importance of the gifts that the Philippians were sending to him. See, they were generous. And from the very first time that he came to them, they continued to send gifts to him no matter where he was at, even when he was in jail. But they sent him gifts when he was at other churches so that he could continue the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, they were generous. And we're told elsewhere in the Bible that God will bless you with the same measure that you give out, right? So, do you want to use that little, I always wonder, that little bitty spoon that comes with all the measuring cups? Really? I mean, who uses that thing? Bakers, right? I could see maybe yeast or something. You don't want a whole lot of that, right? A little bit. But listen, I want to get out the big bowl. I want to get out the thing that we use for Sammy now. To feed Sammy, right? Because if I'm generous with God and his people, he's going to be generous, right? That's what he said. And that's what Paul is saying here. You have been generous with what you're giving out. And so God is going to fully supply all of your needs. During this coming week, every day, I'd like each and every one of us to find something that God has given us. Whatever that is, every day, think of something else. First, pray for God and thank God for his protective hand. And I don't care if you've been sick or if you're hurting. His hand is What did he tell Satan? You can touch his body, but you can't kill him. Right? The hand is still there. Thank God for his protective hand, and then find something that you're thankful for that he's given to you. No matter how Satan tries to take that away from you, thank God. It's a choice. Joy, did you know? Joy or choice? Because see, I've got God right here. Jesus is right here. My circumstances should not dictate my joy. Love. It's a choice because I have love right here, God, in me. I don't love Paula just because she's the best looking woman or the best intelligent or all those kinds of stuff, the best wife I ever had. It was a choice I made. And when she and Stevie are having that, or when we're having an argument, I'm still making that choice. Always still making that choice. Because my circumstances don't dictate my state of being. We're going to talk more about that next week. Choose to thank God for what he's given to you. Praise him for his goodness. Worship him for his loving kindness. Come and join us Wednesday night. Bring your stuff and fellowship with believers about what God has done for us. Look for it.